Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, you're welcome back to the programme, and I'm joined in the studio by Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science. You're very welcome, Minister.
Thanks, Claire. Thanks
very much. Thanks for coming into the studio. Now, we'll come on to your brief in a moment, but I just want to go back to something we were talking about on the show before you joined us. The 50,000 apartments with planning permission in Dublin that aren't being built because it costs more to construct them than people are willing to pay, so they won't be funded by private business. So, is the government just going to let that planning permission lie idle now? Or what do you think should happen?
Well, there's a number of things. I suppose one of the things that, and it comes into my own brief actually, with regard to the uplift in construction is the amount of apprentices that we need to have. And I'm actually going across to the RDS in a minute to the World Skills event. So look, there's no doubt about it. We do need more people going into construction. I think if you were to drill down into the report with regard to why are planning permissions not being taken up, labour is still a huge problem. The availability of key skill sets is still a huge problem. But we know that from around the country.
OK, but the Construction Industry Federation that we're on just a couple of minutes ago didn't really mention that. They said the overall cost to build an apartment is 500,000.
Yeah, but the overall cost, if you have a finite amount of labour, obviously it pushes up the costs. If you have a limited amount of it, it pushes up the cost. And from my perspective in government, one of the things that we're anxious to do, because we accept our responsibilities in the area of housing provision, and in that we need more apprentices, we need more plumbers, plasterers, block layers, the whole gallery with regard to the construction sector. Look, we know that that's not just the only issue. There are other issues with regard, and that's one of the reasons, for instance, that the residential zoned land tax is important, because we know that sites are expensive. So, in some cases, we want to bring down the cost of land, it'll free it up, and the more of that you have available, obviously, it'll ease the pressure into. So I think, though, that if you look at it in the round, while there are a lot of planning permissions that have been granted, and it's not just unique to Dublin, the output in terms of housing, the Taoiseach has often said this has never been higher since 1975.
Yeah, but when it's not viable to build an apartment in Dublin, there's a real problem there. I mean, and the Construction Industry Federation was saying we need to start attracting more international investors now because they're pulling back. The pension funds don't want to be here.
Yeah, and look, I think there's a multifaceted approach that has to be taken to this. I know the Minister for Finance was speaking there in the last couple of days with regard to what the budget will entail around the tax elements of it. We have to make sure that our competitiveness is obviously not dented, but at the same time, we accept that over the last number of years, the housing output numbers have never been higher. Certainly not in my time in politics. This report will obviously take some time to drill down into what are the key reasons, and the government will respond to that, as we have done in a variety of different measures, whether it's in relation to Help to Buy, all of the schemes that are available for the first time buyers that, you know, some people want to abolish.
Sure, Michael Dowling told us there from a mortgage point of view that people have the approval for the mortgage, it's can't find anywhere to buy, which is a supply issue.
Well, supply is coming on stream, and I think, you know, even in terms of whatever about planning permissions, if you go through commencement notices as well, and commencement notices around the country are those which are when they're handed in by a developer to a local authority, they're up as well. And we can see it everywhere. Like, housing output is increasing, there is no doubt about it. We need to do more of it, and that's why the Taoiseach has said that, you know, his ambition is for 250,000 over 5 years in the social element, and I think that's probably appropriate.
Okay, well, just to stick with housing in a way, Paul McCall of Fianna Fáil TD was on the Tonight Show on Virgin last night, and he said, I want to be clear, immigration is not the cause of homelessness. Poor housing policy and lack of supply is. Do you agree with that?
Look, I think, to be quite honest about it, it's very important to say here that, like, Ireland's population is growing, but in terms of our own organic growth, more of us having families, which is a good thing, returning immigrants, people that are moving to Ireland because they see it as an attractive place in which to live and rear a family, all of that is causing upward pressure. So wherever the people are coming from, you know, our population, the CSO reported there recently, is what, 5.6 million?
Yeah.
I mean, it has never been higher on the island of Ireland.
But so I suppose I'm putting that to you from Paul McAuliffe, because we know what the Taoiseach said about immigration and asylum seekers arriving here and linking that to homelessness?
Well, I think what the Taoiseach is referring to is movement into the state, regardless of whatever source it comes from, to be fair. And we know that a lot of people are coming home. We know that a lot of people are migrating to Ireland. We know that a lot of people are economic migrants to Ireland. We know that other people are coming with work permits, and some people are coming with visas, and they're coming with a variety of different reasons. You only need to read the CSO figures to show that month on month, quarter on quarter, our population is rising. It's inevitable that that leads to upward pressure.
So you agree with Simon Harris then that asylum seekers arriving into Ireland is linked to high homelessness figures?
I think that what I said a while ago, and I repeat it, you know, there are a number of factors, but certainly the growth in our population, and going back to what we said a while ago, if you have a finite amount of land and a finite amount of people that can produce houses, and at the same time having a growing population with a growing economy, it is lending itself to pressures. We are making massive strides in terms of output. We know that. But the pressure is still mounting. So the pressure is mounting because people are coming into the state, which shouldn't be viewed as a bad thing. That should be viewed as a good thing, because you know, a lot of these people are coming and they're contributing massively to our economy and society.
And we need people to work here with full employment. Now, Michael D. Higgins, the President, said there's no evidence that charging asylum seekers for accommodation once they're working, that that will act as a deterrent and lead to people deciding not to come here. Is he right?
Well, asylum isn't about deterring and isn't about putting deterrence in place in front of somebody. I think Ireland has, over the last number of years, done impeccably well in terms of reaching out to those who need help and to those who are coming, claiming asylum, and who are obviously not in need of asylum once they have gone through a Department of Justice procedure and have been, their application been vetted, and that they're then asked to leave the state. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. That is a rules-based system.
What we're talking about here is charging people to live in asylum seeker accommodation once they have permission to work. Yeah. So that's after four months. Is that set up and put in place to act as a deterrent?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, once a person has the ability to work and they're earning a wage, I don't think that there's anything wrong with asking for a contribution towards all of the societal infrastructure that's in place.
So Michael D. Higgins is looking at this in the wrong way, because he thinks that the government has done that in order for it to act as a deterrent, so that people looking at coming to Ireland go no, because they're going to charge.
I'm not going to get drawn into any commentary with regard to the president. It's a well established procedure and norm with government that's when the president is entitled to his views. However, I'm just articulating a view that when a person comes into the state and they're allowed to work, I don't think it's anything wrong to ask them to contribute towards the costs of running the state and the wider society. Okay. I don't think most people would see anything wrong with that.
Can I ask you about this Irish Times report? It said, and I quote, that you went at it with the Minister of Integration, Roderic O'Gorman, over plans to accommodate asylum seekers in your constituency near Abbey Feel, and now the plans have stalled because of your intervention. What happened?
Well, actually, that didn't happen, to be quite honest about it. I went to a meeting with other Oireachtas members from County Limerick, at which there was 400 people at, and 6 weeks later, a report emerged that myself and Roderic O'Gorman went at it. We didn't.
Was he was at that meeting?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
So did you ring him or did you meet him on the corridor?
Sure, I meet Roderic O'Gorman every day of the week. His office is a couple of doors down from mine. I sit at a cabinet table with him. I talk to him on a variety of different issues.
Yeah. Did you say to him, I don't want that place?
And I can
Abbey
say
Field.
Categorically that, you know, this report of Roderic O'Gorman and myself going at it, that did not happen.
Did you stop that asylum seeker accommodation from happening in Abbey
Field? No, I didn't. What I did was, and I said this to another journalist last week, and I think the matter might have been cleared up, but it wasn't probably given the same prominence. I was asked by my constituents with regard to a proposal in an area where it was felt, and I agree, that 50 people, regardless of where they come from, or 35 people, would be clearly unsuitable because there are no services in the village of Tournefalla. There is no bus service, there is no shop. Actually, the shop was to close as a result of what was being proposed. There are no amenities, there is no public services.
So you said this to Roderic O'Gorman?
Absolutely. I said it to him, as I would do, and I'm sure other Oireachtas colleagues who were present did the same thing. And that is part of what I would believe is engagement around.
You stopped it. He had a plan and you said no.
No, I didn't, Claire. I mean, and that's a kind of simplistic view. I mean, I'm a constituency TD and I feel that the bringing forward of informations to a government department, whether it is education, health, social protection or children with regard to issues within my constituency, I think, you know, nobody knows their constituency better than a constituency TD.
I just wonder what message you think it sends when government ministers are preventing these accommodation centres from setting up in their constituencies.
Well, that's your third time trying to attempt to say that. That's not what happened. I simply pointed out the lack of services, which has been one of the issues that I think the Department of Children themselves have, you know, in recent times.
So you said you can go ahead with this accommodation centre, but there's nothing there for them.
No, Claire, and
that, or did you say, do not put the accommodation centre?
That's time number four.
You won't tell me what you said.
Well, I'm trying to, but what I said very clearly was that the proposal here is completely at variance with the community of Turnafulla. There is literally no commercial activity in this village. There is no bus service, there is no health service, there is no connectivity to...
So Roderick O'Gorman said to you, that's okay, I hear what you're saying,
no,
we won't
so
do
what
it.
Roderick O'Gorman said was his department would take into consideration the views that I and other Oireachtas members had brought to his attention, and his department would review it.
Okay, and that's where it stands.
That's what
okay.
happened. Listen, so the report in the paper of me somehow going at him, like, I mean, you know, sometimes a room, and more often than not, it's the Thursday morning after a Wednesday evening when I'm on with you about the Fine Gael parliamentary party where there's an unnamed source.
You know, right, you say that didn't happen. Fair enough. Listen, on to third level. So you're here today to talk about this new regime for providers in the international education sector. That includes English language schools. So what is it you're trying to do?
So what we're trying to do is what we all saw a number of years ago where young people from different parts of the world were literally turfed out onto the side of the street and Liveline and other radio programmes were full of situations of young people from all over the world who came to Ireland in good faith and in hope of being able to learn English and watched English language schools fold up and they headed for the hills and young people were left with nothing.
Right, so we're bringing new rules now.
Yeah, so we're bringing in, legislation was brought in a couple of years ago, I think about 2012, 2014, that would allow QQI, the quality authority with regard to education, to bring forward a scheme. Scheme has been launched now. It's basically called Trust Aid and it'll basically be a mark. So providers, not just English language providers, but other higher ed institutions who are offering educational service at a tertiary level to students coming in from abroad, particularly those that are coming in from outside the European Union, where they have absolutely no rights whatsoever in terms of no knowledge, no basic understanding of how the European Union, how Ireland works, that they are protected. So there's a number of things. To get the trusted mark, there's due diligence that are carried out by QQI, so you can't just be, you know, Claiborne Incorporated today, set up an English language school and, you know, Bob's your uncle. You have to go through a series of steps to get the mark. And after you get the mark, there's a fund that is paid into. And that fund will, in the event, which we believe now is more unlikely because of the rigorous nature of the scheme.
But that'll be drawn on in the event that something happens.
So the student can be replaced or fees refunded.
So we have Marketing English in Ireland is an organisation very concerned about this. There's Lorcan O'Connor Lloyd, who's its chief executive, who says that some larger schools might have to pay $250,000 a year as part of the plan. Is that right?
So I don't know whether Larkham was at the launch this morning or not, but what I said is that no fees have to be paid until next November. And what we are going to use the time between now and next November is to have engagement between the providers, my department and QQI to make sure that, first of all, we're not in any way going to be disproportionate, that people will pay into a fund. If, by the way, accepting, I presume everybody accepts that this fund is needed. And once it is needed, a lot of the providers at the moment would have a form of insurance. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be too different in terms of the rates that they would be paying. You know, it might be 1% or 2% on the costs associated with an actual
fee. So you say if they're not being asked to pay astronomical fees.
We're going to use the next 12 months, our department, QQI and the providers. But what I am being very clear about is this has to be a self-financed course in the sense, or self-financed fund in the sense that what we don't want is a situation if people are turfed out onto the street again and the fund is too small and the Exchequer has to come in. So I think there has been a level of engagement up to now. We, you know, people have asked that that engagement continue, and I am of a mind to continue that.
Okay, well, Minister, thank you for coming.
Thanks,
in.
Claire.
That's Minister Patrick O'Donovan. We will take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.